All right, thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate you being here. Of course, on Sunday mornings, our theme going with our offering theme is all in. And this morning, we'll be taking our offering, and we're getting to the end of this part of it. And we're looking forward to God finishing our building very, very, very soon, hopefully by the end of the year. This building project we've been in really hasn't been normal. We've had obstacles we've had to overcome from the very first. Just to get approved to build took a long time. We had groups within the city that weren't even in our area that were opposed to us. They came here and lied and said they were our neighbors, and then when we found out where they lived, it's like, you're not our neighbor, you live miles away. They just didn't like us. Oh, we didn't have enough parking, and we had to go through a process of a parking study, and we had to go before the city council a couple times to get them to approve us to be able to build without parking. We had times when one time they shut us down from building for 2 years, and we had to redo our permits, and they said it would only take a couple months, but you know how the government works, right? The word government organization is an oxymoron. It's just not happening. When we started doing our parking lot, that was going to be 2 months, and we closed it down, and we started the work, and the city came in and said, you know, why don't you redo those drawings? And it took us 9 months. We didn't even have a parking lot at all for 9 months. And that's just, we've been going on and on and on. Even when we finished, it took three to four months for them just to come out and inspect it so we could meet. And not that the city's been against us. I'm not complaining about the city. It is what it is. They're for us. They try to help us. They just can't get out of their own way. And that's kind of how it works. We've had to be very, very creative in all the things we've had to do to get to this point. But we're here. And we're a lot closer to being finished than we've ever been, and we don't have a lot left. And so God's been good to us. If you look in the Bible, there are several stories or times there were building projects. There was Solomon in the building of the first temple. David wanted to build the temple for God because he had a nice place to dwell in. He said, God doesn't have any place. And the prophet, who did not talk to God about it first, went to him and said, fabulous idea, let's run with that. And then God told Nathan, said, no, that's not a good idea, okay? David's not the guy to do it. David has been involved in a lot of bloodshed. I want his son to do it. And so David started preparing before he died. And everywhere he went, every war he won, he got supplies and he stored them so that when Solomon took over, he would be able to build the temple. And it took him several years. And he did. And of course, we've looked at several weeks in a row the book of Nehemiah and building the wall and getting that in place. And we've seen all that has happened with that. For this last message, we're going to go to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra is basically the story of the temple being rebuilt. When the Babylonians came in and they took Israel, they defeated them in war, they tore down their walls, they took them into captivity, and they basically desecrated the temple and messed it up, and so it needed to be rebuilt. This precedes the wall. The temple was rebuilt first. And Jeremiah had prophesied that when they were taken out of Jerusalem, when all this destruction happened, that they would be out for 70 years. And after 70 years, God would allow them to come back to their land. Now that time is up, and God's going to use King Cyrus to prompt the people to go back and rebuild the temple. After that's done, Nehemiah would come and do the wall. Now, what I want to look at is in this chapter is how that whole thing came about. The beginning of that building project, there. Whenever something is going to be done, a project of any nature, whether it's a building project or anything, you're going to accomplish anything, you need two things. First of all, you need a good reason to do it. You need a vision why it needs to be done. You need that, here's what needs to be done. And then you need resources. And as we look at this chapter, we see both of those things happening. So let's briefly, for a few minutes, before we get into the portion of our service where we take our offering, let's look at the story and see how God gave them the reason for what they were doing and how God provided the resources for the rebuilding. I want to share several thoughts through this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to see the call for the commitment. The commitment. Look at verse 1 of Ezra chapter 1. He says, "Now the first year of King of Cyrus, king of Persia," keywords here, "that the word of the Lord might, by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth." He was a world-ruling power. "And he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place, whether he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him with silver, with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." So in order for something to get started and happen, there has to be somebody who's promoting it. There has to be somebody that gets the thought from God that this is something that needs to take place, and they go forward and they get it done and they promote others to do it. But just how did this start? In verse 1, we see that he gives them a verbal proclamation. He talks to them and he tries to get them started. He said in verse 1, "Cyrus, the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled." So what did he do? Because God stirred him up to do this, he made a proclamation throughout his kingdom. God used this heathen king to get the rebuilding of the temple started. He used his word. He had promised in his word that it was going to happen, and he's going to use this guy to make it happen. By the way, not only did God prophesy through Jeremiah that they would be in captivity for 70 years before they go back to build the wall, they go back to their land, which happened, God also proclaimed in the book of Isaiah the name of the one who would allow them to do it, and it was Cyrus. God called him out by name before he was ever born and said, he is going to send my people out. But it was the word that he used to get this started. God had specifically, because he said it in his word, had specifically put this king, Cyrus, in place. You see, most ruling powers, Nebuchadnezzar did it, when they would take over a country to show their force, they would destroy the city, they would desecrate their gods, and they would take many of the people captives. They wanted to put them in a bad space. But history tells us Cyrus was not like that. Cyrus, when he took over kingdoms, he tried to keep the peace. And so he would let the people actually stay in their land, and he would actually let them worship their gods. God put him in place because that's how God was going to fulfill his purpose. But he did it through his word. He had laid it all out for them long before any of this takes place. The point is, commitments we make are often in fulfillment to challenges that are given. He gives a challenge. Hey, it's time. Look, he wasn't a Jew. It wasn't his homeland. It wasn't his temple. It wasn't his city. And yet here he is giving a challenge and asking people for a commitment. By the way, let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with looking for commitment. We live in a commitmentless society. We don't want to commit to anything. We just want to go our way, and if we feel like doing it one day, that's great. If we don't feel like doing it, that's great as well. We just don't want to get boxed into a commitment. The Bible is a book that asks for commitment. And this man asked for a commitment. How did he do that? He did it through the scripture. The Bible had already prophesied it. By the way, I like what Cyrus did too. He wrote it down. He wrote down his proclamation and said, take this out to everybody. I want them to see that, and I want them to be challenged to go back to their land. Don't we have a book full of purpose right here? Don't we have a book that gives us what the vision for every Christian should be? And how often do we not want to commit to it? By the way, the purpose of our church is in the Scripture. And you know what that is? That's to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's to go everywhere we can and share the good news of Jesus Christ and do everything we can to help people come to Him. That's what we're supposed to do. It's in the New Testament. It's in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That is our marching orders. That is our purpose. He mentions it in Mark. He says, go ye into all the world, in Mark 16, 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 46 to 48. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then in the book of John, and when he had said, chapter 20, verse 21, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. It's in the book of Acts, the beginning of the church. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. You know, when I read these verses, the first five books, the four books of the gospel, and the first book, which is the early history of the church. I don't know about you, maybe I'm dense when I read this. I kind of think that's what he wants us to do. Amen. He wants us to get the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, out to everybody we can, in every way we can. That's the purpose of this church. Well, don't we preach so people that are Christians can grow in their faith? We absolutely do that. We want you to grow in your faith so that you'll go out and you will help somebody. Look, this church isn't a social club. By the way, we do social things. I like doing social things. We have activities and we'll have all that. But if that becomes the main thing of the church, let's just shut it down. We're not a church. You want to do that? Go join an Elks Lodge. Go join a bowling league. Okay? You know, we went bowling a while ago. They're like, hey, why don't we have a bowling league? We used to have those in our church. And I'm not against bowling. But we're not having church so you can go bowling. Now, we'll go bowling. Don't get me wrong. But we're supposed to get the gospel out. We want to whine and complain, and I'll raise my hand. I do it too much. Now, I'll tell you what's going on in our world because we need to combat it. But look, this world's in a mess. And if we're going to say, I don't like what's going on in our world and in our country, then why don't we be the answer? Why don't we get the gospel out to this world? They need the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not building this building for our pleasure. We're building it for the purpose. Now, I want you to say this. What he asked them to do was very precise. Look at verse 3. This is an unsaved pagan king. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Judah, in Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of God. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. He was very precise. He says, here's what you need to do. He said, first, some of you need to go. You need to get out there and do the work and get the building built. He was motivating them to become involved in getting the building done. Now, we're not physically, in the early days, we were physically building the building. I can walk around this building, I can stand in here and I can see things like, yeah, I help with that, and walk through the building and remember those days, okay? We're not to that point now. There's a lot of skilled things and we're getting the building done. But you know what? We can still help build the church. How do we build the church? We get involved with serving. We don't need cheerleaders, okay? You know, cheerleaders, 2, 4, 6, 8, Jesus is really great. We don't need that. Okay. Wait, cheerleaders, and I don't watch cheerleaders. Cheerleaders stand on the sideline and cheer, but they've never scored a point. They've never done, in fact, fact of the matter is most people ignore them. I don't know. We went to a football game and the Rams had male cheerleaders. I don't know what that's all about. We don't need male cheerleaders. So I don't like that. Well, get over that. We don't need we need people who are like, you go do the work. We all go do the work. We don't need people to say, oh, we went out and someone received Christ. Well, why don't we all go out and share that with somebody? We need to get involved. But here's the other part. He told them to get involved by giving. Verse 4. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of this place help him with silver, with gold, with goods, with beasts, and all beside the freewill offering of the house of God. See, what had happened is a lot of the Jews that came into the land that Nebuchadnezzar had carted off, they got comfortable there. Many of them probably had already passed away, and they had children, and they had families, and they had businesses, and they all got kind of comfortable there, and that was their home now. So some of them weren't going to go back. So he says, you know what you guys need to do? You need to give. He goes, if you're not going to go back, send money for that. Send the gold, send the silver, send what they're going to need to build this temple. By the way, for us here, to fulfill God's great commission takes money. We have missionaries that go out. Can I just tell you something? They can't eat prayers. You can't print gospel tracts with goodwill. Okay? It's a thing. It takes money to get the gospel out. It takes people sacrificing and doing what they can, and that's what we're trying to do today to get the building done. But here's an unsaved king asking them to make a commitment. Their land, their temple, their city, their nation, get involved with building and giving. What happens after that? I want you to see they commence the work. They get started. Look at verse 5. It says, then rose up of the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised up to go to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. Look at this. They're having a revival meeting. God is stirring their spirit, and there wasn't even a preacher around. It was a pagan king. And when they heard that and they saw it, they're like, this is our opportunity. This is our chance. And God stirred their spirit. I find it interesting. God not only stirred their spirit, but did you read earlier in our verse? He stirred the spirit of Cyrus as well. God was behind this whole thing. But let me say this. Getting your spirit stirred will do no good if you don't do anything about it. Well, here's something like, oh man, that's motivating, and I want to see that happen. And God's saying, okay, what are you going to do to make it happen? We got to get started. Talk is cheap. They rose up physically and said, we are going to go do the work. They were raised up spiritually. God worked in their spirit. And then he worked in them mentally to go to build the house of the Lord. They made that commitment. They said, we're going to get it done. I hope whenever you're reading your Bible or you're sitting in a Sunday school class or you're sitting in a service, if you hear something from the scripture that motivates you, I hope you don't just say, wow, that was great. I hope you say, I want to do that. You hear a message, you know what? I want to be involved with helping people. I don't want to just sit on the sidelines. That's a great thought. But what are you going to do about it? I heard a story one time. It was a pastor, and he had a guest speaker in. And after service, they were walking, and they walked through the doors like back here. We have, by the way, I don't know if you knew this. We have 1, 2, 3. We have 4 sets of doors. And 90% of the people go out that door right there, which is fine. But they had 1 set of doors, and as they were walking out, the pastor told the guest speaker, he goes, you know what I call these doors? He goes, I call them the erasers. Because it seems like people hear something in the service, and as soon as they walk through those doors, everything they heard was erased. What's God going to do? When God stirs your spirit about anything, start it. Get it going. You hear someone preach like, oh man, I need to be in my Bible more. Go start. Get a plan. Get going. I want to share the gospel, and I know I'm supposed to, but I don't know what to do. Go talk to your Sunday school teacher. Talk to I got to learn how to share the gospel. I didn't know how to share the gospel when I started, and I went and talked to a brother Esposito, Johnny. I'm like, man, I want to share the gospel. How do you do it? And he gave me a system. He goes, here's what you should do, and here's the verses you should use, and here's the things you ought to emphasize when you're talking to people. Don't just be stirred. Do something about it. Amen. When's the last time you heard something and God spoke to your heart, God spoke to your spirit, and you started on it? You started on it. These men heard it, and they're like, we're going to do this. We're not going to just sit back. And then lastly, I want you to say, wow, lastly, seriously. Now, the last point has a lot of pages. I'm kidding. The contribution. See, the groundwork had been laid by Cyrus, and the commitment had been made by the people. Now they needed the resources to do it. What did they do? I want you to notice in verse 6 that they had the right motive. Look at verse 6. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beast, and with precious things beside all that was willingly offered. See, what the people that weren't going, and probably a lot more of them should, but the people that weren't going, they encouraged these people. They strengthened their hands. You know how they strengthened their hands? They gave them what they needed to get the job done. They helped provide the resources that were needed. And how did they do that? Well, it's the end of the verse. Willingly. See, God wants us to be willing to do the things we're supposed to do. Now, sometimes we do things kicking and screaming. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, like the little kid that said, you know, when I was a kid, I was raised on drugs. My parents drugged me to church Sunday morning. They drugged me to church Sunday night. They drugged me to church Thursday night. Okay? And by the way, just, you know, if we're not feeling it, we should still do it, right? But if you always just do things because you feel compelled to do it, and if you're not willing, you need to check your motives. Because if you're just doing it for that reason, what will eventually happen is you'll quit doing it. Well, that's why when we read the Bible, we understand all that God does for us. We understand all that God can do for others. Why in the world would we not be willing to help make a difference? These people were willing. They wanted to be a part. That was their why. That was the main ingredient in their giving. They were willing. And because they were willing, I want you to see that God was working. Verse 7. Also, Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them into the house of his gods. And you can read the other verses. It just goes through how he gave it back. See, here's how God worked. Now understand this. You had somebody give a challenge, Cyrus. Then you had these people that responded to the challenge. And then once they responded, the people gave the resources to help get them out there. And once that all happened, God kicked in and said, here, let me give you these other things that you need. All the outfittings of the temple, the things from the inside that were valuable that Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple. Well, here's what we want though. You ready? We want God to do it all without us. God saved this world. He's not going to do it without your help. You say that sounds like God needs us. He does. Because the Bible makes it very clear that gospel is shared from person to person. Person to person. I want to see this. God needs us. And as we commit ourselves to do what God wants us to do, it's amazing how God shows himself powerful. We already know God's powerful, right? But God wants to show that power. And many, many times God shows that power through his people. But we have to be willing. If we're not willing to do what we're supposed to do to meet the needs, don't expect God to do anything. I heard a story many years ago. The great evangelist, D.L. Moody, he was in a prayer meeting at a particular church, and there was some businessmen there. These men had some money. And there was a debt and a need that their church had. So they decided to have a prayer meeting about it. And these businessmen were in this meeting and they were going to pray. And D.L. Moody stepped up and said, "You guys don't need to pray about this." And they were shocked. He says, "You guys have the money in your pockets to pay for this. Don't bother God with it." Now, we have a lot going on. And God will help us to be provided for everything he wants us to do. But he will not do it if God's people are not involved. God makes up our lack. God does not pick up our slack. I just made that up. That's pretty good. Man, I feel like Dr. Seuss, right? Just throw that out there. Okay, I get lucky every now and then. That's how it works. See, what we want to do is we don't want to do anything and we want God to do everything. And God's like, "Hey, I put you here for a reason. And if you go out there, I'll make up what you lack. I will." In fact of the matter is this: you will do more than you ever thought you could. Why? Because we're not doing it on our own. But the two must go together. We must commit to do our part, and then God provides on his part. Now, let me say this. Over the years with our building, our folks have been sacrificial. And you know what else we've seen? We've seen God do great things. We've seen God provide stuff for us, and it's like, wow. We've seen God help us to get things that discounted and all those different things and things donated and finding stuff and people like, "Hey, I saw this and this was on sale. You know, someone, drywall, half price. Here's some extra drywall from a job and you can get it at half." All these, God's done all that. But you know why God's done that stuff? And I think God will continue to do that is because his people are doing their part. And that's what we're here this morning. Look, I'm like you. I don't want to sound negative or whatever, but I want it done. Okay? And we are there. And I want to take whatever energy and resources that we've been putting to this, and we'll go to other things. And God's been good to us, don't get me wrong. But it's time to get this done. And that's what this is about. And we are close. And the Lord willing, and the city doesn't get in the way, which it looks like they're not, it'll be a lot sooner than you realize. But we got to do our part. Let's get to that finish line. It only happens by being all in. All in. And I hope that you're there this morning. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. If we could, let's not leave this. We're going to enter the giving portion. And by the way, if you're here this morning and you're visiting, I'm not going to apologize, but this is our building offering. This is our church, and we're not trying to get your money. Okay? Unless you're a millionaire and you want to drop some by for tax purposes, come see me. But this is our church family. This is our morning to do what God wants us to do. And by the way, I'm not trying to chisel every last penny you have. I'm not doing that. Whatever God told you to do. And I think you know we've done that. Let's stand together for a minute if we could. We'll have an invitation before we get to that part. Now let me just say this. This applies not to just our building. This applies to everything. The Bible is a book of commitment. Commitment to Jesus Christ for the purpose of making an eternal difference in this world. But we got to do our part. Maybe God spoke to you this morning. Maybe you can think of specific areas in your life where you've maybe slacked up. It happens to all of us at some time or another. I don't know what God spoke to you about this morning, but if God spoke to you, the piano's going to play. Let's take a couple minutes and let's come to the altar before we take up our offering. Maybe you're here this morning, and I want to ask this. I know it's our building offering Sunday, but maybe you came this morning, and this is all new to you. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're here this morning, and here's the question: are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt your eternal destiny before you die, the one that Jesus Christ paid for with his death. If you're here this morning with nobody looking around, you say, you know, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die this morning that I'd go to heaven, but that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me with nobody looking? If you would just raise your hand until I see it and then put it down, I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Let's pray together and then we'll take our offering here. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the challenges of your word. Lord, you do so much for us. You enrich our lives in ways that we could never imagine. But you also have a purpose for us. That purpose is to be your witnesses, to be your ambassadors in this world. And I pray you'd help us to do so. Thank you for this group. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.